Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about automation update, probably number 18. This is where I give a description about the sort of programming strategy behind the podcast automation. So let's get the general gist. The idea of podcasting is that I have a realistic audience, at least I think I'm speaking to. That's whether people listen or not, that's really not matter, but I think people are listening, therefore it engages different parts of the brain rather than just vaguely practicing a speech and reading it aloud. It allows me to actually produce things, and it's also getting strategic thinking forward. So over the months, I've podcast into a mobile phone and got bespoke software to convert it to MP3 and then manually put it up on the internet. Eventually I've automated all that such that I'm just speaking to my dictaphone as I'm doing at the moment. I'm just doing this on a cardiac rehab walk, where I'm slowly building up my pacing capacity, and sticks in, then the computer picks it up, detects that it's in, and sets it up for editing. Now, what I have to say about performance, it's a game, another psychological game. I think each time I'm improving, but when I listen back, no, I'm a long distance off where I should be. And so this is in the absence of formal rehabilitation where, say, your work will look after you and you get put back into an area very similar to where you're working at. This is sort of auxiliary rehabilitation. Now, I suppose the aspect of it is it's my best effort, and hopefully I'll get some professional help going forward. So, yeah, the podcasting there is sort of a psychological thing, and also getting back and thinking about programming strategies. And the strange thing is that you, with a lot of these things, you actually don't physically think of them. So there are things that I'm trying to remember, and will just come into my head as the answer, sort of 20 minutes or an hour later or something like that. Or it used to be days later. So it's just the general activity. And so I'm up to a point of this automation where the error rate has dropped down dramatically. There appears to be no error or stuff up. It's doing pretty much what's required when it's required. And I'm going on to looking at different things and adding, augmenting it. Now, one of the things to augment is having got a cluster of apps to be generated along with each podcast. That is multiple choice, word scramble, MP3. I want to start to explore the actual podcast version of a multiple choice, and I realize to do that will take about an hour each time to create a multiple choice show, so to speak. So really what I have to do is create the shell of the show, and it pops in automatically the multiple choice questions, randomized. So it sounds like a random multiple choice show that you'd listen to, but the order changes each time it's produced. And when it's produced, there's a PDF file available for download off the internet of the answers for that particular show and version. So you can go forward. Now, to do that, that's required a little bit of planning and thinking ahead. And so ideally you want to have your speech across, and I was going to get speech recognition or noise recognition to pick up what was going on. And of course I have wound up with a little bottleneck of the actual, my processor speed for voice recognition is just not up there to make it worthwhile. And also the sampling rate, which was envisioned by LabVIEW at the time, the version of LabVIEW I've got, is too low to be a reliable choice. Then you can actually generate a waveform and sync your voice to that waveform. So if you have Audacity, you can get a file, download it on the file. It takes a while for it to download, from your MP3 file to be available in Audacity, and you want to go through and edit it. Now, again, that's a very long-winded type of thing. I tended to have some big data files hung the computer a bit, and so what I've done is use the container that runs the VLC player, and with the one file in memory, you can skip around the file on a keystroke and go to any point and listen to it back and do everything. So we're up to the point of I'm up to the point with that of getting it to the point of selecting a piece and then identifying the piece. So you say question one, and so in the pre-stage section you press a button for question one, answer one, two, three, an explanation of the answer there, and take that for multiple questions. Then this takes it away, so you can hear it without hearing the entire show, hear the guts of it to make sure that you've got that right, which is the main thing to edit. You don't want a multiple choice show with the wrong answer coming up. And when it takes that, it's got all the timestamps to basically cut apart your sound file and interspace it with the show file and produce a multiple choice show for you, which is great. Now the question is that you have your sound file and you want to actually get into that sound file and cut it up, and the question is, it's just similar to building robots and workstations for people. Do you get them using mouse and hand-eye coordination, or what do you actually use? I'm only looking at the various things, and I've been out of it for, a few days. I'm off bushwalking, looking for my kids and doing all this other stuff. So I'm back here and getting the actual process up. Now, there is this sort of thing that I don't know where the strategy comes from. So LabVIEW, which is a G robot programming language, can call up basically an application, and it looks and feels like an application you'd have on your Windows, but it's not a Windows application. It runs the application as an application from another program, so which is LabVIEW, and it takes that up. And one of the things is that if you put your controls directly into your LabVIEW controls to run it, and your LabVIEW crashes, you can sort of jam up your program. So I've, from long experience, developed an arm's length approach where you write one LabVIEW program which connects through something called globals. So you can declare variables which are true for all your LabVIEW programs at once. And so you can build this buffer, this global buffer from one LabVIEW program via globals to the LabVIEW program which controls your VLC, your voice program, which will give you the time by listening to it, give you the time edit points. I'm going to have to break here as I go in and do an errand. I don't get to do a rehab. Hi. Hello again after that break. So we're discussing about creating a object on the web, automatically on the web. That is, you press a button in the application and it launches the online multiple choice that you can hear, and it will, without automatically cater for everything, print a answer sheet for you, and you do various things. Now, that is, there'll be a program which is produced where it will extract an audio multiple choice for it. And to do that, I simply podcast with something, a file, and it comes up, and at this stage you have to listen to it and identify what are questions and answers and stuff like that, just very roughly, then go through and play it and sweeten up the actual timing where it starts and finishes so it sounds reasonably good. Or, if necessary, if something you hear something that's not clear, you can actually re-record it and then pick up where it's at. Then with the timestamps, it goes out and cuts up your MP3 file. And so typically that'll take about 30 seconds to a minute, but you can't afford to have that every time you do an edit. So what you do is that you hop around your MP3 file faster than you can possibly imagine by clicking back and forward the timestamps inside it. And then you have the problem of moving the correct amount further forward and back. And the actual time fatigue of using a mouse and imaging where things are at. And the ideal thing is to avoid that and have time, backspace, backspace keys, and forward space keys. And how do you do that? So I've just come up to the point of getting that strategically sorted out. How that's done is that WebView has a function that it continuously updates a key field as you type. You can ask for it to continuously update. So what you do is you continuously read for the update, and if there is something in the field, you strip it out of the field and put it somewhere else and clear it. So if, as you, say you're typing into this box and you type A, as soon as you type A, the A disappears from there and travels somewhere else. So what you can do is you can then, so I'm just up to that point now, I've just tested it. And so what that will allow you to do is F will be able to set me back at 1/10 of a second, D at a full second, then G 4/10 of a second, C D, oh, I don't know what the next letter is, I can't mentally visualize it. So it's G, H, J. So those four keys allow you to step back and forth. And basically, as soon as you type it, it will start replaying from a position. So as you can listen to it, it goes, you can actually hear it. It's actually quite fast doing it. As you press the key, it jumps back. And so this is a much faster way of tuning this start. Then it assumes if you leave the play, I'm going to have exactly the same thing, that you start letting it go to the end, and if it goes to the end, you can start any key. It finishes and starts, and you can start to hear the end of a piece. So you can actually edit a piece really quickly, put it up there, and then when you click on it again, you can start to edit it again. Now, the interesting thing is, in this key box, you don't have to actually get your mouse over the key box and click on it to start typing. What you can do is that at a certain point, you can swing the key focus to it. So it goes over and does it. So that should allow me to get up then. Now, what we want to do is eventually start to close the loop in. That is, offer this to experts or other people listening to it, teach them how to actually do it, provide a software package for it. And then eventually, as people answer it, and if they answer it correctly, we've got to work out how it's done. There might be a way that I can do it with a mobile phone, that you can press the answer in with a mobile phone. Now, the important thing is that it will allow you to listen to it, and I can see down the track I should be able to do it. But you press the answer, and it reports to you your percentage score and what to study for it. And get this done very quickly. The strategy is that while the goons are sleeping, so to speak, to quote from The Great Escape, you just have to basically put together a plan. Now, what's really strange is that all this very, very quiet activity is not producing any success at this point in time, but will as we bring forward. So I don't know. I really don't know how long. There's nothing, no sort of strategic bottleneck that is incomprehensible at this point in time to go through. So not that I sit down and think about things. I just randomly look at something, and without thinking, I put a number of months to go into it. So initially, when I looked at this, I put 3 months. I think it's down to possibly a month, because there's a lot to it. Because besides the rapid keystroke integration, you've also got to be able to have your multiple choice question, be able to get through that with the minimum number of clicks to go through to see what's occupied. And so I can see that, but it's just going to take a lot of time. I don't necessarily have the free time during the day to produce it. But this is part of an end-to-end product of the podcast, the app, the online multiple choice, and eventually down the track, use the mobile phone input and actually acquiring credits for what you're doing to ensure that you understand what's going on. I'm expanding it out. So if you can imagine, this is like the first voyage to get out there. Now, there's another aspect, though I promise I won't go too long on this one, is the actual quality of the notes for the podcast. And I suppose one of the things that I was looking at is the actual time I take and the typing speed. And I noticed that my typing speed is going up, so sometimes I'll write a bit more on a podcast just to practice my typing speed. So off to the side, this, I know it sounds really sad, I've regained my typing speed, and I thought, look, I'm typing much faster than I was previously a few months earlier, just blindingly fast. So let's go on an internet test, and of course the internet test is 30 words a minute, very slow, and I realise that I'm going to have to take time aside to actually and plot myself day by day for typing speed, so I can actually plot to see if my typing speed increases and go through. So for that typing speed aside, just by chance I had someone from India offer web services, as they do, and when they wrote their letter, they had 4 sentences, and they were color-coded 4 sentences, and because I've used color-coding before dare I say, unsuccessful job applications to deconstruct really complex selection criteria, I instantly recognise this as a way of generating structure, whether by color coding or by breaking things up so that there'd be a title, a brief, a in-depth description, a reflection, something which is a little bit controversial, or discussion point, and a call to action, a thing that the user would want to do, all in different colours, but for each one. And this is a code structure, and that I want to be able to insert that into my podcast automatically. So what that means is that I put on my podcast engine a couple of letters at the front, which it scans for to interpret the following content, put in as HTML, and then I generate the content that I am going to put into my podcast in this area. So I write underneath those topics in that table, then submit it to my podcast engine, which then reads it as HTML. And I think I might have it. Well, I've got to really think about how to actually generate it, so it actually puts the HTML and actually gives the podcast some more structured version coming out, so that you can see to read it. I don't think people will respond well to having entire things called to arms in green, but perhaps this is not called to arms, but action. So perhaps this is something that you could do going across here. So for in this podcast, it would be the title, which is up there, a description of new things coming forward, the basic strategies, some controversial thing about, not controversial, but the long-range planning, and something that you could do. I have to think, but that's part of trained communication. Hopefully I'll be able to speak with someone in communication. Now, just before I close, this is one of the things that I'm beginning to realise, that there are sort of different people in the communication space. A lot of people call themselves communication or communication experts, but they are just tuned math pieces to ensure that the person hires them, that what they say gets heard and other things get filtered out. So they're actually, they're communicators, but they're not communication experts. They're not aware of how the communication is received, the structure of the communication, and communication strategies. So, and you can see the long-term effect of people who believe they're in the communication space, overstepping the mark, and eventually dictating the direction of an organisation to match their communication strategy. So the communication strategy comes first, and eventually the organisation can only produce in line with their communication strategy. And this closed loop means that the organisation is highly dependent on them. So they can actually be a service and actually sort of get embedded into an organisation. Now, what I'm, I suppose, interested in doing is slightly different, and that's opening up the communication channels and the actual structure and content, and experimentally playing, sort of fragmenting the communication up so that people can actually quickly scan through and read what's relevant. And there's two aspects. One is that they may evolve to the new strategy, or the strategy itself can change, but the overall idea is that my mental recall and structure improves as I produce ideas. So let's do a summary. This is a Podimation update where I discuss the technical aspects of production of software to support the initial conclusion that the core Podimation software is stable. So that means that I do a podcast, it goes out to the internet every time reliably, with no fuss, just put it in. As far as I can do, I've got to sort of it checking for. Then I've got to start working towards the next generation of things, which is a synthesized podcast, and the synthesized podcast requires basically cutting and pacing and precision cutting and allocation of information in the synthetic podcast, and to do that requires intelligent interface which doesn't rely tax too heavily on you. So you want it done every day easily, and then there's the long term thing that you can listen to a podcast and sync and eventually press get feedback, record feedback as you go forward, just listen to an individual area. It's completely exploding and reorienting something. So you study at your own pace, do your quizzes at your own paces, but not within a huge Moodle structure. This is completely fragmented, and I can see down the path using blockchain technology. No, I'm not joking about this. Blockchain technology to deliver the podcast and take the result and make the results all very genuine if you want to, but not under your control. So I can see that's there. So that's that aspect going forward, and this is the strategic technical planning to get that going ahead. Then there's the other aspect of just the communication of the write-up of the podcast itself, and actually rather than changing the focus from typing speed, moving that across to actual professional typing speed mapping and plotting against time. So what I do is I plot against time the length of podcast, coherence of it, so I can get a general good. So I'll do a long-term plot each day, sort of plot my typing speed. I won't do any sort of practice. What sort of tends to happen is it just works without input, or someone may help me to input, but it's always good to look at it. But the changes to move off and actually focus on communication, and I have a few people who I hope will read, edit, and feedback with it. So this is a different communication strategy, simply because no one's particularly listening to me at the moment. It's a time to actually increase your skill without engaging people. You just go, just improve. That's the overall strategy at the moment, is that you cut loose and you're not supported, so this allows you to just develop in all levels and just increase. So that's the Podimation update, with the actual introduction, main section, and summary. Thanks for listening. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.